Good morning. It really is a privilege to be here. Anytime I get to come to the fellowship here, it's just a tremendous honor. No, it's good. Perfect. I just want to tighten it up a little. Many years and walking in the Lord. And, you know, the one thing about walking with the Lord, I think, well, there's many wonderful things, but one of them is the ongoing sense of you're always reaching a new vista in the move of God. There's always a sense of there's something more. You know, we're part of a, you would call it an expanding kingdom. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So there's always this sense in the Lord of it's like there's a springtime, there's an opening up, there's new doors of opportunity, new doors of outreach. I was just looking around this morning and I was just looking at you and I was looking at men and women. I'm just seeing gifts. Like they're sprouting, they're popping up, they're anointings of leadership, anointings of teaching, and I'm like, this is exciting. You know, James, as you were sharing that special song, there's a sprouting going on in your life. I just want to point that out. God's doing some great things. I know you've been through a lot, but there really is a fresh anointing on you, and that's the way it is with the gifts here in the body, and it's very, very exciting. So whenever I come here, I'm always like excited to see where's the next thing God's doing? What's he doing? So it's very exciting. What we're going to do this morning in the Word is look at Acts chapter 13. Your pastor referenced it already. So if you have your Bible and you'd like to open there, we're going to look at Acts chapter 13, what we might call the pattern of a prophetic gathering. The pattern of a prophetic gathering. What was going on in the early church? How were they responding to the commission to make disciples in all the nations? How were they responding to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? How were they responding to the charge that they would go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth? How were they responding? Acts chapter 13 gives us an insight into something that really was very, very profound in the early church. They're gathering on purpose to pray, to seek the face of God, to hear his voice at what they must have understood was a pivotal moment in church history. They understood, if you look at the previous 12 chapters of the book of Acts, there was a lot going on. The plan of God was unfolding. We'll talk about it more as we look into this a little bit. But they understood that this thing is bigger than they had originally understood, and that they needed divine strategy if they were going to fulfill the Great Commission, and it is a Great Commission, if they were going to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, which is what Jesus said, they needed strategies from heaven. They needed the anointing of God. And so they gathered here in Acts chapter 13. And let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Lord, thank you for the glimpse here into the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the early church. And Lord, I thank you that the things you were doing then, you're doing today. It's a new day of visitation. And so, Father, we would press into you at a strategic moment in our lives, a strategic moment in the history of the Church of God worldwide, and particularly of the churches here in Northern New York. We would press in. Amen. As your pastor already mentioned, we're in the middle of special meetings, and on Wednesday night, we're going to be gathering here for a prophetic gathering. We're going to be gathering on purpose to seek the face of God. It says here in Acts chapter 13 that they fasted and prayed. You don't fast by accident. How many of you fast by accident? It's because you're too busy, maybe, occasionally. Most of us wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is start eating, and we eat throughout the day. In other words, there was an intentionality to their seeking God. They, on purpose, decided we need to press in to the presence of God. And so they're fasting and praying. Perhaps some of you, before Wednesday night, as we gather as a fellowship, you'll decide, you know what, I want to press in with some fasting. I want to press in with some prayer before the meeting, during the meeting. The other thing was, it's noteworthy, that there are prophets and teachers present at this gathering. Prophets and teachers. Why would you, and there were probably others, maybe there were other people present. Why would you have, let's start with teachers. Why would you have teachers present? Because we need the Word of God unpacked to us. Teacher speaks of the Word of God unfolded, the Word of God proclaimed, the Word of God understood rightly. And so teachers are in the body of Christ to help us, in a sense, to hear from the Scriptures the plan and purposes of God. But they also had prophets present. Prophets speak of the Holy Spirit in operation, visiting in particular ways to give anointed insights into what God is doing at any particular moment in time. And so they had both. They had the prophets and the teachers. You might say this, they had the Spirit and the Word. You know, sometimes we go to build and we say, well, we're going to be a Word church. Well, that's good, but there's more to it. Some churches are saying, well, we're going to be a Spirit church. Well, there's more to it. You need both. And so they've got prophets and teachers. And in that environment, as they seek the face of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And now it was a strategic moment. Acts chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3 is a pivotal moment in the unfolding plan of God in the early church. Many of you understand that there are many books in the Bible. At the end of your Bible, there's a collection in many Bibles, not every Bible, but there's a collection of what we call maps. Sometimes we affectionately refer to it as the Book of Maps. And you'll have maps of Canaan land in ancient times. You'll have maps of maybe Abraham's journey. You'll have maps of the Temple of Solomon. You'll have maps. And one of the maps, typically, one of the last maps in the Book of Maps, the collection of maps, is the map of Paul's missionary journeys. As of Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3, they haven't started yet. Now, ministry's been happening, but there have not been any missionary journeys. The missionary journeys begin from here. I believe in Acts chapter 13, they understood, this thing is bigger than we imagine, and we need God. This is bigger than we imagine. You see, when they first receive the Holy Spirit, they have a conception of the move of God that is Jewish-centric and Jerusalem-centric. Jewish-centric and Jerusalem-centric. So when Jesus says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, by the way, uttermost simply means extreme, could be extreme in geography, it could be extreme in time. In other words, basically, they could have heard Jesus saying Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, which is essentially Jewish-centric region, and really extreme, wow, maybe even the diaspora. The diaspora are the Jews who are scattered around the known world. They have a Jewish mindset that this gospel is for the Jews. They also have a Jerusalem-centric mindset. And over the course of 12 chapters in the book of Acts, what they find is that this thing is bigger. The gospel goes out in Jerusalem. It goes out in Judea. And then it goes out in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, there's a great revival in Samaria under Philip the evangelist, and people are touched and filled. I mean, it's just amazing. But then in Acts chapter 10, something absolutely shocking to them occurs. Gentiles start to receive the gospel. They are absolutely shocked by it. Peter's preaching to Gentiles, and the Lord directed him in it, Acts chapter 10. And while he's preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on these Gentile believers, non-Jewish individuals. They're hearing the preaching of the gospel, and it's like it's happening. They are being born again on the spot. As a matter of fact, Peter's message gets interrupted because the Holy Ghost falls on them. They start speaking in tongues and worshiping. I mean, they're just like standing up, you might say, hands raised, speaking in tongues, proclaiming the greatness of God. And Peter's like, this isn't supposed to happen. The people with him are shocked. And Peter's like, what do we do? Well, I guess we baptize them. They appear to be saved. We're shocked. They appear to be saved. And then in Acts chapter 11, what you find is Peter then brings the report to the rest of the believers in Jerusalem, and they're shocked. They can't believe it. And finally, they conclude it must be that this gospel is for the Gentiles also. So I want you to see, God's good to us, isn't he? He like breaks this box, this narrow thinking. He uses 11 chapters to do it. He's gentle. But he basically says it's not Jewish-centric. The second thing that happens by the end of Acts chapter 12 is this, that there is a strategic move of God and a new, you might call it, center of believers in Antioch, which is hundreds of miles north of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, Barnabas is there ministering, and Barnabas says, God wants to do something really big here in Antioch. Now, prior to this moment, Acts chapter 11, what's happening is Jerusalem is the epicenter of the Christian church. And there are believers being touched in remote areas. During persecution, believers would go out, they would witness, people would come to Christ. But essentially, it was kind of a Jerusalem-centric event. Barnabas recognizes this thing's really big. God's doing something in Antioch. And it tells us that he strategically goes and gets Saul of Tarsus. Says, you know what? What God's doing is so big, we're not just going to like happen to preach wherever we go. We've got to strategize. So he strategically recruits Saul of Tarsus, and the two of them minister for over a year in Antioch. And you know what it says? It says that the believers were first called what at that church? Christians. And what's happening is the idea that this is Jewish-centric and Jerusalem-centric is being shattered. By the time you get to Acts 13:1, they realize it's not Jewish-centric. This is like all of humanity. And it's not Jerusalem-centric. God wants to do a great work in the cities all around the known world. And so they get to Acts 13:1, and they're like, whoa, this is big. This is more than we ever imagined. There are things God wants to do, and we haven't even dreamed of it. Again, no missionary journeys yet. It's kind of like missionary journeys by persecution. You know, there's a persecution in Acts 8. Philip tries to get out, you know, he tries to get a spare, you know, see his life spared. And so while he's out in Samaria, he preaches. God moves. But it's not strategic missionary work. It's missionary work, in a sense, by coincidence of sorts. Now Acts 13 comes, and they're realizing it's not Jewish-centric, and it's not Jerusalem-centric. It's for all nations, all peoples, all times, all places, and wow, we haven't been thinking that way. What shall we do? Well, there's no book of Acts to read. There's no book of Acts. They can't say, well, what did Paul do? Oh, I am Paul. What do we do? How do we, in this unique moment, address the specific opportunity with all its challenges. We need God. We need God. And so Acts 13, verses 1, 2, and 3 says, you know what? They said, we need to seek God. This is a moment we've not been in before, and there's no manual on exactly how to do this. We need God. And so they gather in Acts 13, the passage we read, and they gather specifically with prophets and teachers. Now, the teachers are there because they want to make sure that in seeking God and in unfolding strategies, that their unfolding strategies are biblical. In other words, you got to understand that they're still a little, perhaps some of them, a little uneasy about this Gentile thing. As a matter of fact, in Acts 15, they're still having a debate about it. So there's a little uneasiness. So they want to make sure whatever we do, we want it to be consistent with the revealed Word of God, the revealed will of God in the Word of God. And so they have teachers there. But they also have prophets because they're kind of like, we need to hear God's voice. We need the quickening Word of God to reveal to us strategies because we realize we are thinking in the box and God wants to just remove the box. How do you do that? You need God for that. You need God to give you dreams and visions that you do not in yourself contain. And so in Acts chapter 13, they gather together with prophets and teachers. They're fasting, they're praying, they're seeking God. And guess what happens? The Holy Ghost speaks. Now, the Holy Ghost spoke specifically to two individuals, Paul and Barnabas. Now, both of them had been already active in the ministry. I already referenced that they were together for a whole year in Antioch. So the idea of Barnabas and Paul as a team is not a new idea. It's actually this word that comes forth from the Holy Spirit is a confirming word. It's not simply new information. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks and it's new information. But a lot of times the Holy Spirit speaks, and you know what it is? It's a confirmation of something you're already seeing, but it gives you wind to move into the thing you sensed. It's just the breath you needed to go forward into the thing you're seeing. You're sensing something. It's in you. Maybe you're talking with others about it, but the Spirit of God comes and the Holy Ghost speaks and it gives you the go for it. You're on the right track. I'll reference the beginnings of this fellowship. It was probably maybe March of 1992, and God's moving. We're Ford and Sarah, their family in Madrid. We're having, God's doing great things. We'd already been involved in church planting in Messina and Ogdensburg. But we're sensing there's more. We're sensing there's more. Every now and then, Ford, who was functioning as an elder, he would say, you know, boy, great to see something in Ridgeville. And we processed that. And then around January of 1992, I felt like the Lord gave me a word that we really should be looking also to the east, toward Malone, out in Mawira area. And so there we are in the winter of 1992, and we're considering, boy, Ridgeville, maybe God wants to do something there. And Mawira, maybe God wants to do something there. And the question was, which will we do first? What should we do? Should we do anything? I don't know. And you're praying, and you're kind of like, you have this sense of destiny that's about to unfold, but you don't know for sure. And so on a Wednesday night, in a Bible study and prayer meeting, we have a guest come in. He's staying at one of the hotels in Canton. He's there just for a few days doing business. And he says, you know what? I was in town, and so I looked through the Yellow Pages. Anybody remember what they are, right? Right? I looked through the yellow pages and I saw your ad and it said you had a Wednesday night gathering for Bible study and prayer. So here I am. And this guy was just a great brother, loved his spirit. So we're in the middle of the meeting and he stands up and he says, I just got to share something. So hope I'm not out of order. He says, I feel like I have a word for this fellowship. This is in Madrid. He says this. He said, some people reach out to the left. And some people reach out to the right. It's not normal to reach out in both directions at once. He said, but the Lord's calling you to reach in both directions. Now, you might say, well, that's strange. What did that mean? We knew God was confirming something in our hearts. It wasn't an either or. And so the foundations of both work began to be established that spring of 1992. In other words, the Holy Spirit spoke in a way. It wasn't new news to us. We're already pondering these things. We already had a sense that God is on the move and it's bigger than we think. And so the Holy Spirit comes to give the push, give the encouragement, give the impetus to something that's already in there. So Paul and Barnabas are already functioning as an apostolic team. But now the word of the Lord comes to them in this strategic moment and says, separate them. And it wasn't simply a word to them as individuals. It was a word to the congregation, you might say. Because what happened? They laid hands on them and sent them away. You know who was part of the missionary journeys that then Paul took from that point forward? The whole church. It wasn't Paul saying, I've got a word. You know what it was? It was the whole church saying, we are with you in this. We were there. We were there at that meeting. We know what the Holy Ghost was doing. We heard the Spirit of God speak. And so the church sent them away. They probably sent them away and prayed for them. They probably sent them away and maybe financially supported them. It wasn't simply that Paul and Barnabas just went about their business and fine, they've got a word and they're just going to walk with God and do their own thing in Jesus. It was somehow something that they all carried together. And that's when the missionary journeys of Paul begin. When you look at the book of maps, that begins the first missionary journey. And he keeps going farther and farther, eventually makes his end in Rome. Call it the last missionary journey. But the idea is this. They knew, I can imagine in their spirit at that meeting, they knew this is a strategic moment. Oh, God wants to do something. It's bigger than we expected. And how are we going to do it? How do we reach the nations? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, extreme, no longer Jewish and Jerusalem centric. They don't have a box for this. It's not something they can say, well, just look at chapter 14. Acts hasn't been written. They are, in a sense, they are writing the book of Acts. And they're saying we need the Word of God and we need the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, would you speak? And this sense of impending destiny brings them to this prayer meeting. And they say, we want the Word of God and we want the prophets. We want the teachers and we need to hear God. We need an encounter with Him at a strategic moment. Now, I want to apply this to the times in which we live. I can't help but feel that we in Northern New York are in a strategic moment. I'm in that sense of impending destiny. It's just like thick in the air. Thick in the air. I remember as a young boy, when school would start in the fall, I grew up on Long Island, and it seemed that it was typical sometimes in early September. I don't know if it was just the geography of Long Island, but a lot of school mornings, there would be a moisture and a rain, oftentimes rain, and the sense as you get to the end of summer, the temperatures are still warm, there's a lot of moisture in the air. It was just like heavy. It's thick. It wasn't necessarily raining anymore, but that sense that You almost felt like you were walking through a swimming pool. The sense of, oh, there's something going on. That sense of destiny, I don't know if you sense it, but I do. I mean, I really do. There's this sense of, whoa. And the problem is this. Don't ask me how to do this. You know, this book's being written. You know, the book of Acts, you know, Acts 29, you know, it's actually 28 chapters. We're in Acts chapter 29, 30, 31, 32, you know, whatever. It's being written right now. And it needs to be written by a company of people who recognize God's on the move. We give ourselves to being a part of it. The prayer and the fasting basically was their way of saying, we want in on this thing. They could have been nonchalant. They said, fine. You know, just whatever you guys think. Just go do it. They said, no, we want in. We're going to be a part of this. Something's happening. Saints, I want to, in a sense, call you into something that really is unfolding, not 30 years ago or 300 years ago, but right now. Something's unfolding in northern New York. And this sense of destiny is hanging in the air, and it's a time to seek God. Tonight in Potsdam, we're going to be gathering churches that have been planted by CFC through the years, gathering for worship. Dr. Wilson's been asked to bring a word, whatever's on his heart. Dr. Tallow, just minister freely. It's an Acts 13 gathering. We're saying, God, we need you. You know, where's the next church plant? Where are the next pastors that are going to be raised up? Where's the next missionary team that's going to be sent out? We need to know that. Wednesday night, right here, we're going to be gathering in an Acts 13 meeting. We're going to be here to worship, to pray, to seek God. And in essence, what we're saying is, Lord, would you speak? Because we're at a strategic moment. Now, just as in the book of Acts chapter 13, many times the strategies of God are intertwined with the people of God. God doesn't simply say in Acts 13, I'm going to do something amazing. Just stand back. Don't try this at home, kids. You know what God's strategies involve? People. So on Wednesday night, I don't know, Pastor, who you have scheduled to prayer to get receive prayer, but some of you are going to receive ministry. Because we understand that the releasing of ministry somehow is part of the unfolding strategy of God. And so we're gathering on Wednesday night for an Acts 13 meeting. Now, if there was no sense of destiny, if there was no sense of enlargement, if there was no sense that God wanted to do more in northern New York, you know what I would say to you? Stay home. There's no reason to come. But that's not the case. God's on the move. And you know what? This is our day of visitation. This is our time to carry the baton of the gospel. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. But until he comes, we have the opportunity right now to serve him, to seek him. Saints, there's a sense of destiny. You may be older in the Lord, and you're resonating with this, and you've seen it. You may be new in the Lord. You might even be new here in this fellowship. I want you to know, this is a Holy Spirit call. It's a Holy Spirit summon to everyone in here. It really is. You don't have to be a seasoned saint to understand this sense of destiny. You walk into a place like this, there are gifts. I said it before. I'm like looking around the room. It's like, wow, people are being raised up and released, and it's exciting. Destiny over individuals and families and corporately over us regionally. It's really very, very exciting. And we don't know what the next step is. We don't know what Acts 13 verse 4 is exactly going to look like. But I want to know. And I believe that in these gatherings, we're going to get at least a part of what God wants to speak. We're going to hear something. Now, Paul and Barnabas, they had to take that word and work it out in prayer and in faith. You know how I know that they really believed that the Holy Spirit spoke in Acts 13, 1 through 3? Because they did it. they actually went out. That's crazy. I mean, it's pretty cool that there was this meeting and the Holy Ghost spoke, but it's kind of crazy that they actually did it. They said, we're going to do it. And you know what? They went from place to place. And sometimes when they went, they knew we're right in the will of God. Sometimes when they went, they were like, the Holy Spirit said, no, that ain't it. So Paul tries another spot. No, that's not it either. And then finally, the Holy Spirit says, let me tell you, let me help you. Here you go, Acts chapter 16. Some of you know it. In other words, they went out not sure of what it would look like, but they said, it's God. And we're going to take a step, and we're going to trust him to direct us and redirect us and adjust us and empower us and anoint us. And when there was persecution, you know what they did? They didn't say, oh, this wasn't God. You know what they said? Well, we'll just go to the next town. We'll go to the next people. In other words, they knew the call of God was on them. With that, some of you are going to receive personal ministry. Together as a church, we're going to receive ministry together. And the words that God speaks and the confirmation that we receive through the laying on of hands is meant to help us then to walk out the will of God for our lives. When Paul was facing persecution, just a few chapters later, he is, you know, in jail. By the end of his life, he talks about being whipped over and over, being shipwrecked, a day and the night in the deep, being stoned and left for dead. In other words, you know one of the things that I think kept him going? Acts 13, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Holy Ghost said, don't quit. Don't quit. War a good warfare by the prophecy you received. In other words, it keeps you going. It keeps you moving. It keeps you on track. I'm the beneficiary of having heard from God in a measure in my own spirit as the Spirit of God has spoken to me, but then confirmed through other brothers. And my calling into pastoral ministry was in large measure because others around me looked at me and said, you're called to be a pastor. And I said, really? I don't know. It was the summer of 1981. Pastor Tom Wells in Madrid came up to me and said, you know what? I had been in the church for a little over a year. And he said, really feel like there's a call to be a pastor on your life. And I said, nah, I can't see that. I was trained as a musician, and I just figured I would eventually just be back teaching music and things like that. And he said, no. He says, I really feel like God's called you. And we talked about it, the eldership. Pastor Ford was one of the elders at that time. And I was not sure. They spoke that word to me. Now, I sought the Lord, and about 3 or 4 weeks later, the Lord really confirmed it to my heart. I needed to know. But the fact that brothers had seen something, that they vocalized what the Holy Spirit was saying to them, became a critical component to me, because following then my ordination in September of 1981, it has not always been a smooth ride. You know, I had somebody come up to me, one of the guys in the Madrid church last week, and he was involved with something. I was involved, and he got involved with it. And he just looked at me, and I've known him for years. He looked at me and said, you have a strange job. I said, yeah. He was like, well, it's not always been a smooth ride. And you know what I've done through the years? I've warred a good warfare by the prophecy. I've reminded myself, Pastor Tom Wells, Pastor Ford Reynolds, the other elders, and then the Spirit witnessed to me that this was God. And so when it was hard, I kept going. I needed their support through it. In other words, they didn't leave me. They didn't say, you're to be pastor. We're out of here. Have fun. In other words, they've stood by me. They've encouraged me. But I had to war a good warfare. There are words that are going to come to you that will, in a sense, stabilize you in the things of God. As a church, there's this sense of destiny. We met for prayer just maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I can't remember when it was, the annual meeting. And we talked about this. As you move forward, as you look forward to reaching out to Governor and moving in that direction, there are going to be times where you're like, you see the favor of God. Sometimes when you feel like there may be some, it's not going the way we expected. You recognize the Spirit of God is speaking, the sense of destiny for this church as a church impacting the region, it's hanging over you. And you grab onto that, and it helps you, it supports you, it bolsters you in the difficulty. And so Paul and Barnabas in this case rather, they get this word from the Lord, the laying on of hands. It's already been in them that they're sensing this call, so it's not new information. So they witness it themselves, and then the church has the privilege of endorsing them in it, kind of carrying that word with them. I mentioned before that brothers who saw the call of God in my life didn't just abandon me. They've been there through the years to encourage me. They've been there through the years. And when I, particularly in the early days, you know, when I do some preaching that I'm kind of like, boy, that wasn't very good. They'd be there to say, hey, there's next Sunday. God's hand is on you, bro. Don't quit. In other words, they're there to kind of encourage and to bolster and remind me and to sharpen me. In other words, it wasn't just me with, I got a word from God, I'm going to run with it. It was something that we carried together. So tonight, Potsdam, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night here at 6:30, prophetic gathering, Acts chapter 13 moment, because there's this sense of destiny. There's this sense of there's something yet to be written in the annals of church history right here in Northern New York. That's a crazy thought, but it's yet to be written. I want to pray for you as we close and then turn it over to Pastor Mike. Thank you, Lord. What's true for us as a company of people is true for you as individuals and families as well. Wow. Destiny. What could God do with a people who are wholly available to Him? Yielded hearts, yielded lives, yielded talents, yielded treasures, yielded in every way for the pursuit of His kingdom. Father, I come before you. I come before you and I thank you that you are the lifeblood of the church. Lord, you don't just send us out to do something. You go with us. You're the vine, we're the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. Without relationship with you, without closeness to you, without the fruit of your Spirit in us, we won't really produce anything of eternal significance. And so, Lord, I would firstly pray, Lord, keep our hearts open to you. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that are supple, hearts that are humble, hearts that are free of relational strife and conflict, free of hostility, bitterness, jealousy, envy, greed. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open wide to you. And that with that, Lord, you would fill, you would empower, and that we would have the awesome privilege of in our lifetime, as long as we have breath, seeing the plans of God unfold around us, and before us. Father, I pray for each individual here. Lord, no one in this room is here by accident. No one in this room is here, been born and on this planet right now by accident. Lord, there's no one that's extra. Lord, each one has your hand upon them and the call of God upon their life. Father, I thank you for that. And so, Father, I pray that this would be a season where destiny in individuals would be freshly awakened and stirred. Father, I pray, O God, that not one would be left behind. God, I pray that maybe for some there's just this newness of what could be. For some, maybe there's a discouragement where there's maybe some disappointment and brokenness. I thank you that you restore broken dreams. And so, Father, I pray that for each person in whatever season of life they're in, they would find the unfolding plan of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for the fellowship here. Lord, there's something going on that's, there's a rumbling. There's a rumbling in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't know exactly how to work it out. We don't know exactly what strategy, because Paul and Barnabas, they weren't here in St. Lawrence County. And that was back then, this is now, and there's a unique thing you want to do. And I pray for unfolding of the gifts of God resident in men and women, and for strategies that will somehow intertwine with the lives of people, be effective in reaching this area. Lord, no matter how much we think big, it's like the Holy Spirit keeps saying, think bigger. To the early church that was Jewish-centric, Holy Spirit, over the course of chapter after chapter in the book of Acts, year after year, they finally realized, this is bigger. To the church that was Jerusalem-centric, they started to realize, chapter by chapter, this is bigger. A large and influential church in Antioch. From there, Paul says, why not? Why not the entire known world? Why not Ephesus? Why not Philippi? Why not Colossae? Why not? Why not? God, I thank you. And I pray, oh God, that you'd, in a sense, open up our eyes and our ears in a fresh way. Pray a blessing upon each person here, each family, upon the fellowship. Lord, I pray that they would, in everything, just be emissaries of the King, in spirit, in conduct, in their unity, in their love, in their faith, and in their boldness, in their sacrifice. Father, bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.